You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, February 28th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Satan's Strategy to Destroy the Family.
Well, I tell you what I'm excited about tonight. I think we've got something that could be a help to us. And so I'm excited about giving you this truth tonight. And this may be, I don't normally preach very long. They taught me in Bible college, they said, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, and sit down to be appreciated. And so I have always stayed that way. But tonight may be a little bit different, so I might not sit down too quickly to be appreciated. But I want you to stay with me tonight, and I want you to listen. And I think God will give us something tonight that will be a tremendous help. Now, if you do want to get out early, if you say amen nice and loud, we'll get out sooner. We're looking at about 9 o'clock by that time. And let's look at these verses again. Exodus chapter 10, verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice, watch what it says, unto the Lord our God. Exodus chapter 10, verse 26, the Bible says, and their cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And we want to pray one more time. Now, Father, we need your blessing. We need your help. We ask that, please. These dear people have worked hard all week long. And Father, Sunday night is almost like a time we can come, recuperate, hear some good preaching, get recharged. And Father, get ready to go into a week of facing things that come our way that we're not ready for without your help, without your power, and without your word. So Father, tonight, please speak to our heart, please. We need you. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I announced this morning I would preach a message tonight on Satan's strategy to destroy both you and your family. You know, in the Old Testament, you'll see there's typologies, you'll see there's pictures, you'll see there's symbols, and those pictures, symbols, and typologies can more readily be understood and revealed in the New Testament. It was J. Sidlow Baxter that said this, the New Testament is contained in the Old, and the Old Testament is explained in the New. And he was very much right with what he said. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to draw you a picture of what takes place here in the Old Testament, because it's a picture of some things that takes place in our very personal lives and in our family lives. And so I want us to see something tonight. Here we'll see that there is Pharaoh. Pharaoh is that which is a picture of the devil. You'll see that there's two men by the name of Moses and the other, of course, by the name of Aaron. Two men that are men of God that go down to deliver that which is the children of Israel out of the presence of the devil, or out of bondage. They go down to a place that's called Egypt. Egypt is never a picture of goodness. It's never a picture of that which is holiness. It's never a picture of that which is light, but it's always a picture of that which is darkness, always a picture of that which is wickedness, always a picture of that which is evil. And so we see that these two men of God travel down. They face that which is likened onto the devil in that place that's called Egypt, that is likened onto the world. And they cry out and they say, basically, let my people go. So they're going in God's stead. They're speaking for God. And by the way, that's what a man of God does every Sunday morning. That's what a man of God does every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. What's he doing? He is simply trying to help us to understand that we should not be contained in the bondage of the devil. Your children does not need to be in the bondage of the devil. They don't need to be surrounded by worldliness that's going to cause them to trip, fall, slide, and eventually never to be able to stand up again. And so here's what we see tonight. We see there's two men of God that go down and they're trying to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. And I want to draw us a picture tonight. So let's look at it first. Here's what we see. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25. The Bible says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Now, watch what takes place. And so that which is Pharaoh, the devil. Oh, Brother Dowdy, come help me through it. And so that which is Pharaoh, that which is likened unto the devil. Now, if you will, if you'll come right up here and just kind of stand up here tonight. And tonight, you're going to play the role of the devil. All right? And so go ahead, devil. Ready? Devil. All right. Now, here's what you can say. You can say, I went to Parkside Baptist Church on a Sunday night and I saw the devil. Matter of fact, he looked like Brother Dowdy. No, I'm kidding. And okay. And so you can put him down. And so here's what takes place. And so the man of God, the two men of God go down and they face that which is the devil. All right. And he goes to the devil and he says, let my people go. Now, they're wanting to go to the land of sacrifice. And so we need somebody represent the truth. And okay, Brother Moore. All right. Right up here. And the devil told me not to do this, by the way. And so we've got that which represents the truth. All right. So we have the devil and we have the truth. Amen. Truth. All right. We got the boy. He's more excited about the devil than he is the truth. And we got the devil and we got the truth. All right. Here we go. All right. So here's what we got tonight. We've got a picture of what really is taking place. You see the two men of God. They're going down. They're facing that which is the devil. And they're saying to the devil, let my people go. Why? To go over to the land of sacrifice, the land of service, the land of being in the will of God, the land of the victorious Christian life. All right. Here's what we see. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25, the Bible says, and Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice of the abomination of the Egyptians. It says, to the Lord our God, and lo, we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. Will they not stone us? And so here's what takes place. He says, okay, we're going to go. And the devil says, you go ahead and go and you sacrifice. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in the land. So the devil says, even though you got saved, listen to me. Even though you've got men of God in your life that want you to be delivered, even though you've got people that's on your spiritual side trying to help you to be spiritual and trying to help you to obey God, and trying to help you to be soul winners and trying to help you to raise godly children. He said, even though you've got spiritual people on your side, you're always going to have a devil that says, stay close to me. You're always going to have a devil that says, listen, you've been living in the land of wickedness. You've been living in the land of that which is darkness. You've been living in the land of that which is evil. You've been living in the land of that which is corrupt. You've been living in the land of that which is darkness. And so here's what you need to do. You need to continue to live in that land. Now, by the way, you're not supposed to live in that land. We're supposed to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord your God. You know, a Christian young person is not supposed to dress like the world. Did you know a Christian young person is not supposed to listen to the music of the world? Did you know that you and I ought to decide that we believe in old-timey religion? You and I ought to decide that we don't come to church to get out of church. We come to church to get in church. You ought to decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invest my life in godly living. By the way, if you don't invest your life in godly living for your sake, do it for your children's sake. Man, your children need to see godliness. Your children need to see righteousness. Your children need to see that there's somebody in that household that believes God. Somebody in that household that will obey God. Somebody in that household that will step out and do what God wants them to do. Here's what happens. Men of God go down and they face that which is the devil. As they face that which is the devil, they say, we're going to go sacrifice to our Lord, our God, and the land. That's what we're going to do. And the devil says, wait a minute. Notice what he says. He says, do it in the land. He's talking about doing it right where you are. But it is hard to serve God in the bar room. It is hard to serve God on the disco floor. It is hard to serve God at the movie house. Hello. it is hard to serve God out there just like the world does it. Hey, no, that's why God said you need to come out from among them. That's why God said you're supposed to do the leading. You're supposed to go over to where God is. And if you're staying right here, you're making less progress than being over there. There has to be a cut tide. There has to be somebody that says, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I will follow Jesus Christ. Well, statement number one. So here's what happens. Those that are men of God that say this, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to go and serve God. The devil always says, no, you don't need to do that. You're saved and just stay the same. Just because you're saved, you don't have to be different. You don't have to change. Oh, sorry, there it was again. You don't. Okay, now wait a minute. But we're not supposed to be that way. Look, do you realize coming to church is not bad for your kids, but it's good? From time to time, you need a preacher that's going to get behind this pulpit and throw an ever-living fit about sin. Come on. Your kids need to hear that. You say, but Brother Wells, if you throw an ever-living fit about sin, it might make me feel bad. If you're living in sin, it ought to make you feel bad. But you ought to thank God there's a holy pulpit. You ought to thank God we're preaching from a holy book. You ought to thank God tonight that somebody's going to stand up and somebody's going to shout and somebody's going to throw a fit. Why? Because your kids need that. Statement number one, here's what we see tonight. We see that the devil says, go ahead and stay right here in the land. Look at it, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Well, isn't that something? Isn't that something that the devil thinks he has the power and the authority over your life and my life to give us permission to go and serve God? Now, I'm sorry, but I don't need to ask the devil permission for anything. Here's what he says. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God. It says in the wilderness, watch what it says, you shall not go very far away, entreat for me. I want to show you something. There are those that get saved and they say, devil. There are those that get saved and say to the devil, no more. No more. I've seen it, by the way. I've seen drunkards get saved and they say, no more. I've seen dope addicts get saved and they say, no more. I've seen gang kids get saved and they say, no more. I've seen that. But I've seen other people that get saved and the devil says, hey, go ahead and stay. And they decide they're going to stay. Now, wait a minute. Deliverance has already been provided. They've already got people on their side. They've already got people in their corner. They've already got people that love them and praying for them. They've got a godly bus captain. They've got maybe a godly mama and a godly daddy. They've got a godly preacher. They've got a godly Sunday school teacher. They've got somebody in their life, and that somebody in their life is on their side, and that somebody in their life is rooting for them. But the devil says, stay, stay, stay. You're not supposed to stay. Amen. Wait. Here's what the Bible teaches. And so the devil says, stay. But then after that, the two men of God come back down. They said, no. Let my people go. And the devil says, okay, you can go ahead and go, but don't go too far. Don't get too excited. You can go down to the Baptist church, but don't go to that one that's soul winning. You go down to the Baptist church, but don't you dare go down that Parkside Baptist church where they believe the Bible is the Word of God and they use that King James Bible only. Don't you go down there to that church. The devil says, go ahead and go, but don't go too far. Don't get too excited. Go ahead and go, but go down one of those liberal churches. Hello? Where the women dress like men and the men dress like women. Go ahead. Go ahead and go. You can go and you can serve. By the way, you listen to me. It is not time for you to think about getting out of Parkside Baptist Church. It's about time you decide, I'm here, I'm going to stay, I'm going to obey God. You let God use you. You decide you're going to bloom where you're planted. Here's what takes place. The Bible says that the devil says, go ahead and stay. We've been friends all these years. And since you're so used to me, go ahead and stay close to me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I refuse. I am not going to do it. I don't even like you. And so I begin to walk away. And the devil says, ho, you can go, but don't you get too excited. Hello. You can go, but don't. Hey, you can go, but don't go to church. Go to church on Sunday morning, but don't go Sunday night. Go to church on Sunday night if you have to, but don't show up there Wednesday night. You go ahead, you serve God, but you don't give God your very best. You don't sell out to God. You don't give God everything about your life. You're supposed to do that. Don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. Wait, watch what it says. Book of Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. He says, I will let you go. And then he says, but only you shall not go very far. He says, entreat for me. He said, look, don't get too excited. Don't pass out tracts. You boys and girls that did a fantastic job in passing out tracts. I'm telling you, as your preacher, I'm telling you, I'm proud of you. I'm telling you, keep it up. I'm telling you, this next week, don't just pass out what you passed out this past week. You get more tracts. You chase more people down. You get more excited. You put some more hours out there. You do your best for God. Wait, here's what we see. We see this. The devil says, now, wait a minute. That's a good rule. And the devil says, now, wait a minute. You go ahead and stay close to me. I said, not on your life. I'm not going to do it. I said, not on your life. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. The devil says, okay, you go ahead and go, but don't you get too excited. By the way, our girls ought to be excited about living for God. You realize as a young lady, you ought to be more excited about living for God than you are a boy? I did it again, didn't I? You know, you ought, come on. I told my boys, I said, if a girl ever chases you, run. Because if she's chasing you and she can't catch you, she's going to find another boy that's got britches on and she's going to chase him. Whatever happened about waiting for God? Whatever. Do you realize that God did not wake Adam up until Eve was made ready for him? Do you realize that? God kept Adam asleep. Then when Eve was ready for him, God, poop, woke Adam up. And he said, oh, mother of all living. Hello? Now, wait a minute. And so here's what we see. We see the devil says, stay close to me. Man of God says, man of God that's in the home, mama of God that's in the home, parent that's godly, parent that loves their children says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not staying beside you. I'm not going to let my kids stay beside you. I'm not going to let my grandkids stay beside you. No, I will not do it. I'm not going to stay where I'm not supposed to stay. Then the devil says, go ahead and serve God, but don't go too far. Don't become a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist. Don't do that. Now, wait a minute. And so here's what we see. He says, stay close to me. Watch what it says. Exodus chapter 10, verse 7. Exodus chapter 10, verse 7. Here's what it says. Bible says, and Pharaoh's servants, listen, said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve, watch it, the Lord their God. Knowest thou not that Egypt is destroyed? I mean, even the heathen people knew that these men were bringing the judgment of God upon the land because they were being held in captivity. Come on. You say, but I feel like I'm in captivity. You keep serving God. Let God bring judgment upon those that is holding you in captivity. But you keep God first. Here's what it says. Exodus chapter 10 verse 8. The Bible says, and Moses and Aaron were brought, it says, again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Love this. Look at verse 9. Moses said we would go with their young and with their old, with their sons and with their daughters, with their flocks and with their herds will we go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and he said unto them, let the Lord be with you. I will let you go. There's that devil again. That devil thinking he has to give us permission to serve God. You know why he thinks? You know why? He is so used to some of us being close to him that he thinks that he's got control of our lives. Watch what it says. The Bible says, I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it. Watch it. Look to it, for evil is before you. Oh, parent, please understand the devil says, please, you can let your child go, but don't put him on a bus route. There's evil before them. Don't get them out passing track. The devil says evil before them. Don't get them excited about, oh no, don't let them get excited about God. There's evil before them. That's what the devil says. God's not saying that. My Bible says God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear does not come from God. You don't have to be afraid of something and think that God cannot help. God's bigger than your fears. Wait a minute, watch this. Here's what the Bible says. And so he splits the family. Brother Watkins, come here if you will. Bring your wife. And come on, just you and your wife for now. Just you and your wife. Here's what we had. And okay, I'm going to get you an older son. All right, Ben, you come. All right, now here's what happens. Okay? And so the Bible, come up here if you will, if you don't mind. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, come up here, Ben, stand between your new parents. All right? Here's what the Bible says. Now watch this. Let me see. Who do you look like more? No, never mind. Okay. And so sacrifice in the land. He said, look, stay. Just stay. The devil says, I know that you got saved, but stay the way you are. I know that you got saved, but stay where you are. I know that you got saved, but stay exactly what you're doing. And the devil says, just stay. Well, any godly person's going to know that they're not supposed to stay. So they go over and they tell the devil, we're not staying. Amen. We will go to church. We will serve God. We will obey God. So the devil says, okay, I'll compromise with you. You can go ahead and go, but don't get all the way in. Hello? Just stay close. Just go ever so often. Stay close. You know why I want you to stay close? Because if you ever get all the way in, you're going to get bit. And you're not going to want to stay close to him. And your kids are going to get on fire. And your kids are not just going to become good kids. They're going to become spiritual kids. And they're going to love God. And you're going to have a household that is built on faith. And you're going to have a household that's pleasing God. And you're going to have a household that's obeying God. And you're going to have a household that's blessed of God. And the devil says, I don't want that to happen in your life. So he says, if you're not willing to stay, stay close. Then he says this. Notice what he says in your Bible. Look at verse 7 again, Exodus chapter 10. Pharaoh's, watch it, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, so talking to Pharaoh, the Bible says, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Then Pharaoh's men gives Pharaoh a suggestion. They say unto him, let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God in their land. All right, so here's what he says. He says, divide the home, split the home. Let the men go. Men, you go serve God, but you only go serve God. Leave the family in the land. Y'all stay close to the devil and leave the family behind. Now, by the way, if the devil can get half of your family to obey him and half of your family not to obey God, eventually he's going to get them all. Blood is thicker than water. How many times have I seen in the ministry where a man surrenders to do God's will and the wife says, I am not doing it. You know what happens? I don't care if the man goes out. I don't care if the man goes and tries to serve God. It doesn't last. You know why it doesn't last? Because everybody's not on board. The devil knows what he's doing. The devil doesn't want your family serving God together. The devil wants to divide you. The devil wants half of you. He don't mind if half of you are excited about serving God, if half of the family's not excited about serving God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if half of your family is serving God, but the other half is not serving God, eventually, it's going to become very hard on you. Now, by the way, you can do it by the grace of God. But if your family's not serving God, you have to walk extra close to God. Extra close to God. Extra close to God. You have to be so close to God that you know exactly. God's wrapped all around you. I mean, boy, God. No. Don't hug him. Just put your arm right there. Boy, I came to church and I saw the devil. Then I saw God. And he was leaning on somebody. Watch me. But if you get so close to God, God can help you with every problem. So the devil says, okay, I can't get all of you, but I can keep some of you. Now, let me show you how it is in our Western civilization. Mama, you go serve God. Daddy, you're backslid. Get back over here. You're going hunting on Sunday. All right, now wait, watch this. Here's what takes place. In our Western civilization, most of the time, thank God it's not this way at Parkside. I said, thank God it's not this way at Parkside. But in our Western culture, in most, and Dr. May's going to find this out as you travel more and more and more, you're going to find out that most of the women are the ones that's excited and serving God while the men are sitting home watching the boob tube. Hello? That's why young people, you listen to me, young men, you better make up your mind right now that you're going to step out and you're going to serve God. And look, you better be careful who you marry. You better be careful looking at a girl just because she's pretty. You better decide right now as a young person, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to give God my very best. And when I get married, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead the charge. We're going to serve God. We're going to be in church. We're going to be soul winners. We're going to say amen. We're going to do what God wants us to do. You decide it right now as a teenager. Wait a minute. Watch this. And so, but in our Western civilization, the women serve God, but the men are hanging out. By the way, are you listening to me? Guess where the boy's going to go if daddy goes hunting? And I'm for hunting. Go ahead and kill your bear. Go ahead and kill your deer. Go after it. Kill them all. Hello. But keep God first. Get up early, early, early. Go out and kill yourself a mess of deer. Get yourself in church. Set yourself down in the pew. Let that preacher rear back. Preach it, you spit all over. Hey, serve Jesus first. Watch this. Boy, I had less amens on that. And so the normal thing is that I've seen that should not be normal is that the daddy decides he'll take and he'll serve the devil. And the boy decides, oh, okay, come here, dad, come here, son. Come on, mama, stand over here. And you stand in the middle of mama and daddy. Here's what happens. When daddy's not serving God and mama's serving God and daddy's not serving God and mama is serving God and daddy's not serving God and mama is serving God, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Here's what your Bible says. The Bible says he watches daddy, he watches mama, he watches daddy, he watches mama, he watches daddy, he watches mama, he watches daddy, he watches mama. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You got a confused kid on your hand, don't know what to do. You know why he doesn't know what to do? Because daddy's doing one thing, mama's doing the other. So he's confused. He don't know what to do. Now, let me show you the way it should be. Are you ready? Are you ready? Preacher gets up. Preacher begins to preach. He enters up in the pulpit. Daddy begins to smile real big. Mama begins to smile real big. Junior looks at daddy smiling real big. Looks over at mama smiling real big. And all of a sudden, Junior says, ooh, something good is about to happen. Hello? I'm telling you the way church should be. And all of a sudden, preacher gets up, open your Bible. And daddy raises his hand up, and he shouts, amen. Yeah, oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, mama looks at daddy and gets a big old smile. And Junior looks at daddy and then looks back at mama and says, woo, something really good is about to happen. Are you there yet? This is church, isn't it? So daddy gets in the pulpit and says, open your, I mean, preacher gets in the pulpit and daddy wishes he would. But preacher gets in the pulpit and says, open your Bible. Hey, we've got good news from God tonight. Hey, we're going to hear something from God tonight. God's going to speak through our hearts. Here's what the Bible says. She smiles real big. Junior looks over here. Junior looks back here and says, wow, this is where it's at. See, now you listen to me. There has to be an agreement in the home. Has to be. If there's an agreement in the home, then the whole home is heading the right direction. But if the whole home is not heading the right direction, there's going to be trouble in your city one day, and it's going to be at your house. Thank you, father, son, and adopted. Go away. All right? Statement number one, devil says stay. Statement number two, devil says stay close, don't go very far. Statement number three, devil says, okay, let me split the home. Statement number four, and I'm done. Here's what it says. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, listen to it, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Now understand the progression here. First he says this. He says stay right here. Man of God, lady of God, parent that's godly says no. So the devil says, okay, I lost him on that front. Listen to me. Watch what's happening here. My Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. The reason the devil gets victory in your life is because you're not fleeing enough. What does it mean to flee? It means to get away from rapidly. Then my Bible says follow after righteousness. Okay, wait a minute. And so he says, no, I'm not going to do it. Mama says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to church. Amen. All right, so we're not going to stay. So the devil says, okay, I can't get you to stay, so don't go too far. Just stay close. Don't go too far. And the godly parent is going to say, no, we're not going to do it. We're leaving you. I don't care who you are. We're resisting you. We're getting away from you. You're wicked, 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 wicked. Ha! All right. And so, then he does this. Then he says, okay, if I can't get you to stay and I can't get you to stay close, I'm going to split your home. I don't care if daddy gets excited, if mama's not excited. Come on. Now, some of you mamas are thinking about staying home and you're thinking about backsliding. I'm telling you tonight on the authority of God's word and the love of God that ought to be permeating your life, you ought to decide you're going to get right with God tonight and you're going to stay plugged in. Some of you daddies are saying, okay, I heard that preacher and he's got a loud mouth and he moves around and he slaps the pulpit and he spits and saliva goes flying out everywhere and I don't like that type of preaching. I'm saying tonight you ought to just decide, listen, you voted me in. Dr. May had confidence in the will of God for his life, for my life. Just decide you're going to plug in. Wait, watch. Here's what takes place. So the devil says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to split that home. I'm just going to split it. Now, if he can't get you on that, here's what he does. This is the last ploy of the devil to take and destroy you and your family. Last ploy, here it is. The Bible says, I'm going to read it again, Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. The Bible says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go. It says, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Look at verse 25. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices, burnt offerings that we may sacrifice. He's ignoring him completely. By the way, that's what you ought to do. When the devil says, you're tired, you need to stay home and rest and not come to Sunday school. Ignore him. Ignore him. When the devil says, you don't need that type of preaching. Ignore him. Ignore him. When the devil says, you go ahead, go Sunday morning, but don't go Sunday night. You tell the devil to go home and ignore him. Here's what it says. Look at it, verse 25. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices, burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice on the Lord our God. Look at verse 26. The Bible said, our cattle shall, I like this, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof, he's pretty dogmatic, there shall not a hoof be left behind. He says, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. So we don't know what's on the other side of God's will. I'm not supposed to know what's on the other side of God's will. I'm supposed to trust God that God, you know, the Bible talks about steps. The Bible talks about a light onto your feet. The Bible talks about a lamp onto your path. What is that? That's a day-to-day step, a day-to-day walk. He said, give us this day our daily bread. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to trust him for that which is the now. I don't know what's going to come in the future. I don't know if I'll have a heart attack. I don't know if cancer will come. I don't know if all of a sudden my mother-in-law will get mad at me. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. I'm supposed to step out. I'm supposed to obey God. I'm supposed to go forward. And with that great intent as I serve God, God will give the blessing. Let me give you a closing illustration. And then we'll do one more illustration. Then I'll quit. When I graduated from Bible college, there was a church in Lake City, Florida. Mrs. Wells, you remember the church. Where's my bride? Where's she at? Wave at me. I love you. There was a church in Lake City, Florida. And the church said this. They said, we want you. Now, they ran, I guess, about 70 teenagers. They said, we want you to come and be our youth pastor. I was fresh out of college. I was excited. Somebody wanted me. That was a miracle within itself. So I thought, we're going to move to Lake City, Florida. I mean, I thought, this is it, man. This is it. We're going. I'm moving to Lake City, Florida. I'm going to be a youth pastor. Ha! We showed up. They had a youth activity. Remember this one? Had a youth activity. And they said, we want you to come. We want you to preach. I said, okay. Well, I was excited. I not only get to be the youth pastor, I get to preach. Boy, I'm excited. So they said, we want you to come and be a part of the youth activity. I said, okay. So I showed up. It was on Saturday. They had a bus wash. They're going to wash their buses. Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. The girls showed up in bathing suits. Fundamental Independent Baptist. Not all even Fundamental Independent Baptist churches are the same. Hello. They showed up in bathing suits. So what'd you preach on? What'd you think I preached on? Nakedness. You said that they still want you after you preached. The guy thought he could change me. He did. He thought he could change me. He said, Brother Wells, I understand you're young. Oh, I hate it when they do that. Well, no, let me rephrase that. I used to hate it when they did that. I took Jonathan down. He was getting his license changed from Mississippi to Texas, and the lady looked at me, and she said, your brothers, huh? I said, you're a pretty smart woman. Wish it was true, but it's not. And so I was in Lake City, Florida. And the next day after I preached, he came to me. He said, I realize that you have stronger convictions than I do. Duh. And I didn't say that to him. I was being very respectful. I said, duh, duh. And he said, I realize you get stronger convictions than I do. And he said, I realize that one of us will have to change. And since I know that one of us will have to change and you would not come in and hurt a pastor, I'm going to ask you to make some changes. He said, I tell you what, if you will change and you will come, we will make sure that you get one of the nicest houses that's in the area. He said, I'm going to give you this salary. It was a pretty big salary. Hello. He said, my brother has a farm. And he says, you can have all the, he knew what we like, fresh fruit and vegetables and stuff. He said, you can have all the fresh fruit and vegetables you want. He says, man, he said, you got excitement when you preach. Our young people. I said, yeah, but you ignored the content. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? I said, preacher, if I come, I'm going to hurt you. Now, I'm not going to come here and hurt you. By the way, there's a principle there. I said, I'm not going to come here and hurt you. If I come here and I preach the way I preach, your young people is going to get right with God, and they're going to wind up taking sides, and I promise you, it's probably not going to be on your side. I said, so I will not come. Mrs. Wells and I went to that room. You remember that? We stayed in a bedroom with white, this back in, a while ago, and stayed in a bedroom, had that white plushy carpet. You remember that? Mirrors on the ceiling. I mean, we look up and I'd see two of me. That was horrible. And we took a dollar bill and we tore it up. I gave her half and I took half. And I said, we're going to make a commitment to God right here, right now, that we will never be influenced by money in the ministry. There's nobody going to buy us off. And did you know I've had countless of offers that maybe I could have took, but I didn't take, and I'm glad I didn't take, because now my boys want to live for God, and my little girl wants to live for God, and they're excited about it. Listen, if you compromise just a little, it's going to chase you down the road. It's going to find you. Here's what we see. He says in this last part, Pharaoh called unto Moses in verse 24 and said, go and serve ye your God, the Bible says. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. So here's what he says. Okay, if I can't get you to stay, then I want you to stay close. If I can't get you to stay close, then I want to split your family. If I can't split your family, I want you to surrender your possessions to me. That's what he says. He says, go ahead. He said, you go ahead, you take your wife, you take your children, you go to the land of sacrifice, only let your possessions stay. You know why? Because if you don't surrender your possessions to God, eventually you're going to go back and milk that cow. Eventually you're going to go back and shine that car. Moses came back and said, you don't understand, you're just not getting it, are you? I mean, I knew the devil was dumb, but I mean, you're just not getting it. He said, look, we're going. He said, let me make it very, very clear to you. He said, Moses said, that we're not only going to go and take our children. We're not going to go and just take our wives. We're not just going to go and take all that. He said, but I'm going to tell you, I want you to give us possessions. He said, we're going to take what we own and we're going to take what you own. Well, that sounds like a Baptist. He said, we're going to take it all and we're going to serve God. All right, here we go. One more time. I'm done. Closing example. First, the devil says, stay. I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you, you better not touch me again. And I'm not going to do it. You keep your hands off me, sir. I promise you. I know karate. And no, I don't. And but don't you touch me. And so the devil says, okay, you go ahead and go, but stay close. Stay close. Because he realizes if you surrender all yourself to him, listen to me, some of you young people are getting ready to make some tragic decisions in your life because you're not giving God your total self. Here's what you're doing. You're saying, boy, I'm just going to wait till I graduate from the academy, but I'm not going to go to that Bible college because there's rules and there's hey, you need rules. You need regulations. You need somebody to help you in your life. Amen. All right, so he says, you can go ahead and go, but don't go too far. Don't get too excited. And so he said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't touch me. Well, that bothers me. Don't do that. And so he says, okay, I'll go ahead. I'll entice part of your family to stay. By the way, somebody is weak in your household. There's somebody that the devil has a tab on in your household, and you know it, and I know it, and it might be you, or it might be your wife, or it might be one of your children, but he's got somebody in your household that he's tempting, that he's got a rein on. What are you supposed to do? Pick yourself up and run to God. And so what do? I get, by the way, here I am, closing illustration. I said it twice. The farther I get away from the devil, farther I get away from the devil, the closer I get to God.
Amen.
And the closer I get to God, the more secure I feel.
Amen.
The more I serve God, the more I understand His will. You ever do this? You ever miss church, and while you were missing church, you felt bad? You know why? Because you were not as close to God as what you should have been. Hello? All right? And so the closer I get to God, the more protection I've got. I mean, God becomes my shield. I mean, and you can't get me. By the way, over here is a lot of liberty. I can have fun. I can, hey, buddy, you look, okay. And so, but I can have fun over here. You children need to learn to obey your parents because that is your fence line of protection. They're not trying to get you to obey because they hate you. They're trying to get you to obey. They're trying to get you excited about spiritual things because they love you. They know what's best for you. Satan's strategy to destroy both you and your family. The Bible says, give not place to the devil.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.